Hello and welcome to the special podcast, D Street Talk on Markets powered by Money Control. Well, my name is Shraddha Jananda and today I have with me a very special guest, Shankar Sharma, who is a co-founder and vice chairman at First Global. Welcome to the podcast, Mr. Sharma.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Shraddha.
Mr. Sharma, the first question I wanted to put it across to you is on your PMS schemes. In fact, your PMS scheme, which is India-focused and global, both outperformed in July. So what led to the outperformance? Is it the tactical diversification?
Yeah, so India was a different strategy than what we followed globally. In India, basically, we were up about 9.5% versus the market, which were up about 6%. Hmm. And year to date, we are up about 20%. While the markets are still down about 10%. So the gap is massive year to date.
Right.
And after April, basically our strategy became, so we avoid the main lesson in this as an investor is if you avoid the big mistakes, mm-hmm. you are generally going to beat the markets by a pretty good margin. You see, mm-hmm. so the central lesson is we saw the danger in February and in March. We sidestepped it. We lost very little money. Right. And then we went back into the market on April 1st in India. And mm-hmm. from there, we are up about, I think from April 1st, we are up about 35 or 38%. Market is about, 32, 33%. Mm-hmm. So, we have gained there. But because we avoided March substantially,
right.
year to date, we are up like 22%, or the market is still down 10%. So mm-hmm. that is key as a lesson in investing. Avoid the big down, the big drawdowns.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most important lesson out of this performance data. Otherwise, we can talk about which stocks we picked, how we tactically positioned ourselves. And of course, there we've had some very good winners. We had winners in pharma, which have gone up five times from March. Okay.
Five times. Okay.
Yeah. So, those have all helped. But those are only small building blocks to the larger point I'm making, which is, do not become a cowboy in investing. That is uh-huh. the most important thing. So that's the India part. And the global part was even better because there, right from April itself, we saw that the US dollar was going to weaken. And therefore, mm-hmm. we went and bought oil at about $16, $17. That has mm-hmm. gone up to $42 now.
Yeah.
We've had gold, silver we bought. So that is up like 70, 80% in the last 2 months' time. Mm-hmm. Of course, we've had some great stocks in China, which has done phenomenally well. Our Switzerland bets have done very well. And of course, US, we've had around 40, 50% in US.
Mm-hmm.
So very globally diversified. Again, we avoided in February and March, same strategy. So we are up about 22% year to date, even in global, while markets are still down. So broad thematic is, while you can do all the smart stock picks and et cetera, mm-hmm. be conservative in this game. Don't be a cowboy.
Right. And I'm sure, this is something is like music to your investors. And that is something which I see on your Twitter feed as well. A lot of, investors are acknowledging the fact that you've outperformed the broader markets or the markets in general.
I'll give you a quick one-line thing. We got a message from an investor that we have in our both. They're invested both in India as well as globally with us.
Okay.
And the gentleman is a senior executive at a major auto company in Germany.
Hmm.
Major.
Hmm.
I mean, I can't take the name, but uh-huh. one of the biggest
yes.
in Germany.
Uh-huh.
And he sent us a mail saying that my whole life has, and obviously very senior person, that my whole life, the investing journey has changed ever since I started investing with FG, because the way you approach things is so different. And now I understand the meaning of diversification. Now I understand the meaning of risk management, what it means for position sizing, which I was never told what these things are. I just went and bought five stocks. One would do well, four would tank 80%, and net, I would still lose money.
Yes. Yeah.
So the point is you can do it with a very strict process scientifically. And like I said, avoid the big dangers, big drawdowns. You will come out ahead in investing.
Key lessons coming from Mr. Sharma, in this Twitter, in this podcast that we have. So another thing I want to focus on is that, I was going through your Twitter feed, and interestingly, you bought HDFC Bank back in 1996, and it has been a mega wealth creator for investors. I'm sure for you as well. So what does the journey hold for the private sector lender amid a change in management as well? For the future.
Yeah. So first and foremost, nobody knew Nobody. I don't think Aditya Puri ever knew that this bank would become so big. And
oh, absolutely.
I mean, so, you know, in hindsight, we can all say that I saw this coming and all that. Nobody saw this coming. Our bet was that it was going to do very well. And we put out a piece of research in 96, which said exactly that, putting a baby and Arnold Schwarzenegger together side by side. And we said, this is the baby. Then this is what this baby is going to become. And it did become Arnold Schwarzenegger. But hey, to say that we actually saw all that, I mean, that is being, you know, very, very, you know, immodest. So reality is it was always a good bet back then, great management team.
Yes.
But that it would become so big, nobody knew 25,000% return. Now, obviously, a leader like Aditya Puri, and remember that Aditya Puri is not an entrepreneur by definition, right? He was a career banker. Here too, he was an employee. Okay, a founder employee, but still an employee.
Yes.
I don't think in this history of business, at least in India and frankly, even globally, you have seen an example of an employee creating an organization of this size, scale, and excellence. I don't think it is matched across the world. Forget about India. Now, therefore, if you see this achievement, to expect that the next guy will be as good as Aditya Puri, I mean, I'm fingers are crossed. It's a great, great company. It's a huge machine. As long as you don't fiddle around too much, it can still keep running. But, you know, these are going to be big shoes to fill. And let's hope and pray that a great organization, institution like HDFC Bank continues doing so. Because remember, HDFC as a group has been founded only by employees becoming entrepreneurs. Okay, that's been the nature of the HDFC group. They have got that DNA. Hopefully, that same DNA will continue even in the future.
Right, we all keep our fingers crossed with that because not us. I mean, a lot of people are banking with HDFC Bank and our investors as well. So I'm sure you know everyone is looking forward for a stable journey of the you know the management change as well. Now the third question, you know, it's a very interesting one, and you've got the Midas touch when it comes to picking winners, and you've already said you know back in the 1996. So any stock idea or probably a sector for our listeners that could actually turn into gold?
No, so first and foremost, I don't have any Midas touch. Let me be absolutely.
You're being modest, okay. Mr. Chamaya. Huh?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, we will make mistakes. The whole point in investing, as I said, is do not put all your eggs in one basket. Yes. That is a very silly and stupid way of investing. Buy 25 stocks with some good research. Out of the 25, at the end of 5 or 10 years, 5 will become multi-baggers. 5 will actually become absolute dogs where you lose maybe 25, 30, 40%, which have exited. And the balance will be along with the market, whichever way the market has gone. So your 5 are going to come out of buying 25. Your 5 are not going to come out of buying only those 5 because nobody can predict. Nobody in this world, including the guys running that company, can predict how far or how low a stock or a company can go. So it is the finding multi-baggers is the process, and we follow a process, and that is how these things will come about. The pharma stock we bought in March, which is up 5 times, came out of the process. It didn't come out of a brainwave. Did I know that would go up 5 times? No. Did we think it's a great stock? Yes. Did we put all our money into it? No. So it is a process. After the process, at the end of 10 years, out of 25 stocks, 2, 3, 4, 5 will be brilliant, and that's how you will create your money. Now, as we speak right now, I mean, India, you know, has been a very strange market wherein one part of the market has done terribly. But there are other parts which, like I said, one of the stocks I have mentioned right now without taking names, you know, our 5X in 4 months is huge. 5 months is huge, right? And then there are quite a few examples of others which have done, like, which have gone up twice, maybe 3 times. We have had a number of them in our portfolio, which are one of the reasons why we are up for the year. In India right now, the interesting spaces remain, you know, obviously telecom, you know, has been talked about. It is one. Pharmaceuticals, very simple. And similar sectors which have not been hurt by this pandemic. Sectors which are hurt by this pandemic, we all know which sectors they are. While they are going to have a rally and they will, you know, they will basically go up from the lows, we still think there is, you know, there are risks there. And like I said, in investing, okay, as long as you avoid the riskiest areas of the market, okay, you will still, okay. And remember one more thing, Shita, you should not, as an investor, try to make all the money that is supposed to be made in the market. Because many stocks will go up. Okay. Any stocks will go up in the market. You don't have to buy all of them. Right. Don't. You are going to get them, and that you should get all the ones that have doubled. You should buy and get the ones which give you the best risk and reward trade-off.
Right.
As simple as that. And we find that is plenty of them are available. It's not that it's not available. And we have chosen to stay out of banks and NBFCs. And we are quite thankful for that. In the month of June, we actually underperformed because of that, because a lot of the NBFC rallied 100%. Okay. We all know which one, right? But that's okay. That's fine. I'm prepared to sit out those parts because that's an area where there is still dangers ahead.
Right. And in terms of global perspective, well, do you think the outcome of the US elections will have an important bearing on equity markets across the globe since you manage portfolios, you know, globally?
I think a lot of this is all nonsense when people keep trying to, you know, figure out what happens to the presidential election and therefore what happens to the stock market in the US. You know, the government and the president, they don't really control much in the economy. Unlike India, right? Policies are directed and driven by who, which party is in power and who is leading and all that. US is more like a machine, right? It's like, it doesn't really matter. I mean, whether Trump or Biden, who really cares, as long as the central bank remains accommodative, which is what at least I think it will. You know, equity markets will be fine there. And if they're fine there, in general, other markets will also be fine. That's, and of course, as long as corporate numbers are good and companies do well, equity markets are fine. I don't think one individual matters so much in the context of the US. It matters a lot in India. Right. But it definitely doesn't matter in a large machine like the US economy.
Right. And sticking with the global theme only, so what is your take on the commodity prices? In fact, all seems to be heading in one direction, and that is up. You know, be it crude oil, gold, silver, etc. And NASDAQ has already touched a record high. Do you think tracking the momentum, India could follow the trend?
Yeah, so we picked all these commodities in April. We've written about it also in our investor updates, which are monthly. You know, so we have done very well because of having commodities and commodity-centric markets. So we met Russia, we met Brazil. Brazil is up 50% in the last couple of months. So, you know, obviously there is a, you know, reasonable bit of expectation that commodities will do well. In that context, if you see India, then a number of the commodity stocks have done very well. So, you know, if you see the steel or you see the aluminium, those stocks have done pretty decently well, you know, in India in the last couple of months, right? I can't take names, but ones are. So you can play some of these themes even in India, and we have these names in our portfolio. So that's another reason why we've done well. So, so steel stocks have done phenomenally well in the last couple of months. They're up 30-40%.
Yes.
Right. So the global commodity upswing, we have been able to capture that in our India theme. Apart from playing it globally as well, where you can play it more directly. In India, you can't play a number of them directly, you know. So you can play them indirectly through the stocks, which we have.
Great. Well, thank you, Mr. Sharma, and listeners for tuning into this edition of Special Podcast. But do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com for more on news, business and economy. Again, thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you, Shitish.